I'm JT.
And I'm George.
This is Podferatu.
Folk horror is based upon the juxtaposition of the prosaic and the uncanny.
It's strange things found in fields, lights flickering in dark woods, the darkness in children's play, being lost in ancient landscapes.
The devil having a cup of tea with you.
The power of ritual and the power of collective storytelling.
Ancient wisdoms, if you like, that have been long repressed and forgotten, rise up again, very often to the consternation of complacent modern man.
Hello, welcome to Podferatu. We are going to switch things up a little bit today in that we're going to be talking about a documentary.
Yes.
And this is the three and a half hour?
3 hours and 12 minutes, I believe, is what it was.
And it is Kierla Janisse's documentary about folk horror called Woodlands Dark and Days Bewitched.
Yeah.
A History of Folk Horror. There's a lot to it. There's a lot to unpack.
Yeah. And going into this, I think it's fair for everyone to know that JT is quite a big folk horror fan.
I love folk horror.
While I could take it or leave it. So
okay.
We're coming from those two perspectives on the documentary.
Yeah. And I've been a big fan of folk horror for a long, long time. It's weird and I love it. So that said, there's a lot going on in the film that there's a lot I didn't know. There's a lot of stuff that I didn't know was out there. There's a lot of stuff I didn't know about folk horror. What about you?
Same. So they do a really, really good job of sort of taking you through this chronological journey.
Yes.
Of folk horror film, which I really appreciated. It's very much felt like a video textbook, almost.
Yes.
Incredibly informative, very well organized. They broke it up into chapters, even.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I say that to say, the earlier part of the documentary was rife with things I had never, ever heard of.
Okay.
As it progressed, I started becoming more familiar with the films that they addressed and covered. They got to talk at least 100 films in this movie, right?
I actually looked that up.
It's dense.
There's a guy on there was a guy on Letterboxd. His name is John Ersenbach, and he counted up the number of movies they refer to.
How many?
222.
222 movies spoken about in 3 hours.
And I added, what really surprised me was out of that 222, there were only 88 I haven't seen.
Okay.
And I put them all on my
just
Letterboxd.
Under half, then.
Yeah, I put them all on my Letterboxd watch list.
Yeah, that's another really great tool that this documentary can be used for, is compiling a movie watch list, because it is 222 movies. That's pretty dense.
My movie watch list has probably close to 2,000 movies on
it.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, I can imagine that. But
But it's funny that you should say they set it up like a video textbook, because one of the guys that she interviews, Adam Scoville, wrote a book about folk horror.
Oh, okay.
It's called Days Dark and Hours Bewitched, or something like that. Now I can't remember the exact name of it.
So is the documentary sort of based on his textbook?
It's not really based on the book, but it definitely has some overlap.
I see.
And now I need to look it up and find out exactly what the name of the book was. So
while you do that, so I thought it was, on top of being incredibly informative, very well organized, the interviews are with the cream of the crop in this subgenre of horror. It was also really beautiful.
Yes.
It was really, really, like I said, I'm not the biggest fan of folk horror, but that didn't necessarily keep me from enjoying the documentary.
Right.
I just, obviously, if it's not something that you're super passionate about or super interested in, you're not going to be as into it as somebody who is super passionate and interested.
And
but it didn't take me out of it. it is incredibly long. It did take me 2 days to get through it. At about an hour and a half in, I was like, okay.
That's funny, because I watched
about enough for me today.
I watched it straight through when I found out about it, and then I watched it straight through again the next day.
Really? So the irony of this, right? It's 3 hours and some odd minutes, which is long, right? Mm-hmm. But I had to break it up into 2 days.
Okay.
Crystal Lake Memoirs,
right?
The Friday the 13th documentary, right, is 6 hours and change, and I watched that in one sitting, no problem. Yeah,
that would probably take me a couple of days.
See?
Yeah.
And that just speaks to my point.
So Scoville's book was Hours Dreadful and Things Strange.
Hours Dreadful and Things Strange.
So, and they've worked together, I think, on other things before. And then the director, Kirla Janice, also co-wrote a book about the Satanic Panic of the 80s.
Oh, I bet that's interesting.
So it's really interesting. I have it. I'll let you borrow it. So the idea that you said it's set up like a textbook is probably no accident.
Yeah, I really feel like this documentary could be used as an educational device in film school.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Or to teach a course on folk all its own, because
that would be fun.
And that was something I also learned. I didn't realize there was quite so much of it.
I knew there was more than I was aware of, but I didn't know how much of it there was, and I didn't know how much I've seen that is considered folk horror.
Yeah.
But that's because I don't agree with everything that they talk about in the film.
Yeah, I mean, and that's going to be normal for everyone.
There's stuff that they consider folk horror that I just don't, and I have a somewhat different definition of folk horror than I think the director does.
Yeah, I had some moments where I was like, oh, really? That's folk horror?
Like, for example, I don't consider Texas Chainsaw Massacre to be folk horror.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
I think she classified it as something like backwoods folk horror, and I don't buy that. But what's funny is Deliverance I would almost consider to be folk horror.
Interesting.
Which is weird, because Deliverance doesn't do any of the things that I would normally associate with folk horror. But
so,
I don't know.
So for me, again, something I learned from the documentary is how expansive the subgenre of folk horror can be considered.
Right.
I also would not consider Texas Chainsaw Massacre a folk horror. I believe they included Poltergeist in the mix.
They did. That's another one that I have an issue with.
Same. Ironically enough, both Tobe Hooper films.
But yeah,
for me anyway, and again, everyone's, I guess, has their own idea of what falls within the genre, but folk horror, when I hear that word, I immediately think a time period before we had technological advances.
Right.
And supernatural elements, and typically involving a cult that lives in the woods, right, maybe. You know what I mean? Something of that nature is what the word folk invokes in me. So when you say Poltergeist or Texas Chainsaw, I'm trying to scratch my head. There were a few where I was like, really? Maybe I do like folk horror then. But
well, because Poltergeist, one of the things they talk about as a kind of a tangent that they go off on is the myth of the Indian burial ground. And that's why she puts Poltergeist in folk horror. But if you're going to do that, then you also have to put The Shining in folk horror.
Right.
Which it's not.
No.
So no. I don't put either one of those in folk horror. Folk horror, to me, it doesn't necessarily have to be before technological advances, but it's definitely at least like a throwback.
Okay.
To places or times that don't have those. Like, there's a really good Ben Wheatley movie called Kill List. And it's about two hitmen, and it ends up being a folk horror movie. So it's definitely in the present day.
Okay.
But the cultiness of it is a big throwback.
Gotcha.
I think there's an extent to which you can call The Conspiracy a folk horror movie.
Explain.
Because it's culty.
I see.
That to me is almost enough to make something folk horror.
Okay. See, I think I would put cult horror movies in a subgenre of their own.
Okay.
Outside of folk.
Yeah. I think you can have cult movies that are not folk horror.
Rosemary's Baby.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good example. Yeah. I hate that movie too. That is a good example. That said, have you seen what they call the Unholy Three that they refer to?
No.
So there's Witchfinder General, there's Wicker Man, and there's Blood on Satan's Claw.
I've seen the remake of Wicker Man, but I've never seen the original.
Oh.
I know. Don't you know, come for Cage, okay?
You know what's funny is, and you might agree with me on this, I loved the remake of Wicker Man.
Did you?
I did.
I thought you were laughing at me for saying
it. I was laughing.
I like it too.
I was laughing because it got so much hate.
I know.
It got so much hate from the bees.
Yeah.
But,
I mean,
I loved it. It was because when you see the original, Edward Woodward, who plays the Nick Cage character, when they bring him up to where the Wicker Man is, he loses his shit. And I think Cage does that just fine.
Cool. Yeah, I'm going to have to watch the original.
I don't think it was anywhere near as good as the original, but I did not hate it at all. I thought it was fine.
You consider it folk horror?
Oh, yeah. It's still folk horror. It's surprisingly faithful to the original, but the original is creepy as hell. There's something about the original that is really unnerving in a way that the remake just did not manage to hit.
Gotcha.
At all. But if you haven't seen the original, you really, I mean, Christopher Lee is the head of Summer Isle.
Oh.
And okay. He's the one who's basically the leader of the, it's basically a big pagan island.
Right.
And they have a sacrifice every year to ensure a good harvest and all that stuff. And that to me is the Wicker Man to me is the definitive folk horror movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if I had to, and again, I'm not the biggest fan of the genre, but I loved Midsommar.
I did too.
I thought that movie was phenomenal.
There were a lot of people that said that Midsommar was a, basically a ripoff of Wicker Man. And it certainly owed a lot of allegiance to Wicker Man, but I do not at all see it as a ripoff.
No, I disagree with that completely. I feel like there's definitely echoes of Wicker Man,
absolutely.
But you could say the same thing about any.
But after
a lot of movies,
to me, one of the better folk horror movies after Wicker Man is Midsommar.
Yeah, I thought that movie was amazing.
I really love Ari Aster. I heard his next movie is going to be like 4 hours long.
I'm with it. Let's go.
I saw Midsommar 2 days in a row over at Narrow Cinema. And then when Ari Aster released his uncut director's version, I went and saw that twice. So I've seen it 4 times so far.
Wow.
And
I've seen it twice.
The uncut version, it doesn't really add a whole lot to the movie, but if you can believe it, it makes the boyfriend even douchier.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. It makes him even.
How?
I hated him from the beginning of the movie the first time.
And you should. And you're supposed to hate him. And
when you see the director's cut and you just, man, is he unpleasant.
Yeah.
It's just, ugh. So, yeah, Midsommar is definitely up there in terms of.
Yeah,
all the elements to me of folk horror, and again, it's like we were talking about. It's a throwback because everything's still technologically available. You know, it's the present day, but in this place, it's
right.
It's way out there. My only problem with it, as is the problem in so many horror movies, is stupid white people. If I come out of the woods. And the first thing I see when I come out of the woods is a giant sun altar. I'm going the fuck home.
Yeah, I'm out.
It's like, y'all have your mushrooms. I'm leaving. But yeah, it's and then when the people when the old people jump off the cliff, whew, rough.
Yeah, that was the moment for me where I was like, yikes, you guys. First time I saw it, it was a pause it, go outside, get some fresh air kind of moment, take a breath, come back. Because it feels like it comes out of nowhere.
It kind of does.
But then the second time you watch it, it's a whole different experience. Because
it really is.
Now you know what's coming, but it's still And so disturbing.
And it wasn't until the third time I saw it when I realized how all the plant life was moving.
Oh, I haven't even noticed.
Oh, man. Everything, it's like, so the whole thing is lit. It's very, you know,
right.
It's gorgeously shot.
Right.
And everything's really bright, but it's also really dreamlike and kind of hallucinatory.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is when you start looking, like when the flowers on her head, the flowers are opening up and closing.
No shit.
Yeah. So the whole thing is like a giant hallucination.
Wow.
And it's really, it's amazing. It's unnerving once you realize it.
Now I want to watch it a third time. It's just such a hard movie to watch, you know?
It is.
It's so, so striking.
It's dark. It's very fairly dark. It's fairly
it's
bleak.
Very, very dark. And contrasted with how beautifully brightly lit it is, it's just such a good movie.
Yes.
I don't know anybody who hasn't seen this movie yet, but if you haven't, please go see Midsommar.
Yeah. So Wicker Man, and then they talked about Blood on Satan's Claw was another big one that
that's another movie I've heard of but I've never seen.
It's good. I don't like it as much as The Wicker Man, but I still love it. It's again standard folk horror. It's pagan. They find some kind of weird skeleton and weird stuff starts to happen, and it involves, you know, young people and sacrifice, and you know, again, it's this far flung English countryside kind of setting. Pre technology like you were talking about. And it's just it's basically kind of a devil cult and what comes of that. And then the other one that they always kind of put these three together, which is, Witchfinder General. And that was one of the problems I have with this is I don't find Witchfinder General to be a folk horror movie.
Okay. I've never seen that either. So why not?
That's Vincent Price and he plays Matthew Hopkins, who really was a witchfinder.
Oh,
during the witch scares in Europe. And he was basically corrupt and he used his position to his advantage, both financially and basically kind of as a sexual predator.
Wow.
And it's basically him and his assistant going around accusing people of witchcraft and either extorting them or blackmailing them or killing them because of it. And there are no witches. So to me, there's no folk horror aspect of this because it's out in the English countryside. So there's that folk horror aspect of it. The guy's a witch finder. So there's that aspect of it, but there are no witches. There are no sacrifices. There are no cults. There is no paganism other than, you know, what people kind of might normally believe. So there's no. To me, is a big, big element of folk horror, and it's not there. There's another movie that I think does the same thing. It's called Mark of the Devil, and it's basically people being put to death because they're being accused of being witches and aren't actually witches.
Well, much like real life, right?
Right, exactly. We're going to accuse you like McCarthyism.
Yeah, that was a bit of a problem, I guess, I had with the documentary, too, that so much of their definition of folk horror was so broad.
It was very broad.
It was almost like they made it broad because they wanted to include certain movies without thinking about what other movies they would accidentally include through that definition.
Okay.
Like you said with The Shining.
Right.
Like the idea of if it involves a cult that worships something. It's folk horror.
Right.
Then that means House of a Thousand Corpses is a folk horror.
Right.
And that's definitely not, you know? Yeah. So, and then by extensions, its sequels would also be.
Right.
Because the characters are still there. So, and they're still worshippers of Dr. Satan, whatever the hell.
Yeah. That's a good point.
So that, I didn't like that. Something I thought was really unique and I did like was the animated sequences.
Yes.
Those were really, really cool.
Yeah, they were kind of fascinating.
Yeah.
They were, again, really intriguing and really visually appealing.
Yeah.
I don't remember who did that. I probably should remember that, but I don't.
Yeah, I didn't make a notation on that either.
But yeah, that was really well done. And there was a lot of stuff from the 70s that they also tapped into with folk horror in terms of the sort of back to paganism movement from the 60s into the 70s. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of the folk horror stuff kind of originated and came out of, was sort of a response to that movement. And that was about it. What else either stood out for you or.
Yeah, I think I've covered all my bases on this one. Like I said, I think it was a really informative documentary. I did learn a lot. It's kind of like that class that you need the credit, but you're not really into it. So it was kind of like that. Funny. You know, I watched it because we were planning on doing this episode. It's fine. If you're into folk horror, you're going to love all 3 hours of this thing. If you're not into folk horror, you're probably still honestly going to enjoy it. You're definitely going to learn something. And you might just end up with a love for a new subgenre that you didn't know you had.
Yeah. There's a lot of, there's also, like I mentioned before, a lot of stuff that I was not aware of. Like most of the stuff that I added to my watch list was there was a lot of Czech stuff.
Oh yeah.
That they talked about. Like, I think Valerie and Her Week of Wonders was one of them. So there was a lot of Czech folk horror that they mentioned, a lot of foreign stuff that I am not familiar with or wasn't familiar with, a lot of Italian stuff. Well, there were a number of movies that I thought were giallo movies that were actually folk horror movies.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like, there was one called,
Can't They Be Both?
Oh, they can. Giallo generally tends to be more mystery oriented.
Okay.
And they're usually isn't, well,
I thought giallo referred more to the visual appearance.
No, giallo specifically refers to the pulp detective stories.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That a lot of giallo movies sort of came out of. And the reason they were called giallo was because the pulp novels had yellow covers.
Oh.
And giallo is Italian for yellow.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes. And so most of them are mystery and murder oriented, but some of them, like Suspiria, is going to have like a little bit of a... Suspiria has a supernatural edge to it, but it's definitely a giallo movie. So one of them they talked about was something called Don't Torture a Duckling, which is a fucked up title.
Yeah.
And I thought it was always a giallo mystery, but apparently it's a folk horror and there's a witch involved and there's...
Oh, interesting.
So,
was there anything that you were surprised they didn't touch on?
I feel like there was, and now I can't remember what that might have been, because it was pretty exhaustive.
Yeah.
It was. They covered a lot of ground. And,
yeah, they
and
definitely again, did their homework.
They mentioned over 200 movies. I think it's pretty exhaustive. I don't think that there's anything... I can't think of anything. I can't remember anything that I was surprised that they left out.
Yeah. Cool. So what was your overall skull rating for this one? It's kind of hard to rate a documentary, but...
It is, but I'd still give it a 5.
Yeah?
I'd give it 5 skulls.
5 out of 5 skulls?
I would give it 5 out of 5 because it's really important. It's informative. It's a really good basis for... If you don't know anything about folk horror, it's a great movie to get familiar with it. And if you do know stuff about folk horror, it's still really good. It's probably going to show you some stuff you weren't aware of.
For sure.
And I think it's a great documentary. I may go home and watch it again tonight.
Yeah. I thought it was really great, too. And from the perspective of someone who's not 100% interested in the subject matter, I'd still give it a strong 4 skulls. Which is, I'm a snob. So, congratulations on those skulls, you guys. No, all jokes aside, it's really great. It is really great. And you can find it streaming currently on Shudder.
It's on Shudder. I think it's a Shudder.
I believe it's an exclusive.
I think it's a Shudder exclusive.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, it's on Shudder. It's
you can buy it on YouTube. You can rent it on YouTube.
Okay,
too. I saw that.
Okay, and that is it.
All
so
right.
Woodlands Dark and Days Bewitched, 5 skulls and 4 skulls. And if you want to agree, disagree, or weigh in on this, You can contact us at podferatu@gmail.com. And you can also check out our website and leave comments at podferatu.com and find us on the social medias. And I'm JT. Thanks for listening.
And I'm George. Have a good night.